too many times I've been asked the question already, like, what happens if the Sixers don't win the finals? I think the question we should be asking is, what if we do win the Eastern Conference? What if we do win the finals? What if that's the reality that we live in? What if we walk down Broad Street fucking eating shit behind the horses and have the party of our lifetime this summer, a bacchanal to end all corona times and fucking champagne flowing down Broad Street?
First time, long time. I'm Smitty. We got Roan. We got a new producer, Derek, in the booth. And ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in, well, I guess since last year, the Sixers are in the playoffs, but for the first time in 20 years, it actually seems like we have a shot as we are the first number one overall in the East, ready to sling all the dick come playoff time. And we are playing the Washington Wizards. And I said on this very program that if we were to play anybody, I don't want to play the Wizards in the first round. Does that matter? No. They're still going to win in five, maybe four. But Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, Roan, a little bit cautious here.
Yeah, they're the hottest team in the NBA right now, and they have two guards. But at the end of the day, Smitty, who's sticking Embiid? Derek, who the fuck is sticking Embiid? Nobody's sticking Embiid. They have no interior presence. Rui Hachimura doesn't fucking scare me. Their guards are fantastic, but their guards are also mercurial. And we have defenders. We have Ben Simmons, who should be winning the Defensive Player of the Year, but Rudy Gobert might steal it from him. And we have Matisse Thybulle, who should be on the second team on defense. And I think that that's actually going to happen. We have the antidote for their fantastic guard play. And it's, I mean, obviously the Nets have awesome guard play, but this is going to be some of the best guard play that we have to see. Let's fucking get sharp with it. I don't mind it. Let's fucking do it.
Yeah. Bradley Beal put up 60 points against the Sixers earlier this year. Russell Westbrook averages a triple double, but the Sixers are still 3-0 against them. Nobody can stop Joel, Hans, and Beat. That's what it comes down to. On the Barstool Sportsbook on Sunday, we're going to have a prop bet that Joel Embiid is going to make over 10 free throws. I don't know what the normal line is. It's probably going to be like around 8 or so. He's going to make 30 free throws because he's going to be fouled 100 times. You cannot stop this beast of a man. And Washington, is they got no answer. They got no answer. You say to yourself, who are they going to put on? Lopez? They got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, the Lopez brothers are, like, tough, like, individuals, but they're not tough basketball players. But my question for you is this. How do you feel about the Sixers right now as they're going into the playoffs? Are they as hot as you want them to be? Do you have the expectations at that super high point? Do you wish that they came into the playoffs on a little bit more of a run with a little bit more chemistry? Or are you comfortable with these Sixers in these super important playoffs?
Yeah, you'd like to see them roll into the postseason like they did, what, 4 years ago, ripping off 20 straight, the hottest team in the NBA. I am a little concerned that they did sort of play down to their competition, even when healthy down the stretch. But it all comes down to it. They're the best team on the floor, and they know it. I am a little worried game one about them coming out and really stamping it down. If they do that, then I have no worries at all. They win in five, maybe even four. But again, I wish we were playing Boston or the Hornets or who was the other team, or the Pacers. That would be an easy sweep. Here, I think it might get a little tough, closer games, but I feel good. I feel good. And then the second round, we got the Hawks or the Knicks, probably the Knicks. And then the third round, probably the Nets, maybe the Bucks. If he goes Washington, Knicks, and then Nets, we could roll into the fucking finals without even taking a plane ride. All Amtrak, baby.
That would be nice. That would be fantastic. But I have the feeling going into these playoffs that it's not going to be any kind of like sweep, sweep, sweep type of. I think that we're going to be in series. Like, we're going to be in dogfights for the entire time. I think that teams are going to take games off us because that's been the identity of this team the entire year. Like, teams take games off us. It's not like we go on unbelievable streaks. But in the long run, in like a 10-game stretch, we'll be 8-2. So I do feel comfortable that we'll be winning and we're going to take the – we're going to – I mean, if it's not Eastern Conference Finals, it's a disastrous failure, a disastrous failure.
No, heads should roll if it's not the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't see the Wizards obviously beating them. The Knicks are going to give them a fight if it's the Knicks. I say we steamroll the Hawks, but even so, did you see what Washington's head coach said about putting on one sock at a time?
Yeah, I mean, that at least is bulletin board material. Finally, we're getting a little bit of bulletin board, and like that, it fires me up a little bit. Even PFP today, like, you're my enemy. I'm like, okay, let's be enemies then.
I don't even think it was bulletin board material. I think they're like confused and scared. They don't know what to do. Scott Brooks on the 76ers. They put their socks on one sock at a time, just like us. Unless they're doing something tricky, putting two socks on. But I don't think so. I mean, there's a little bit of apprehension there. He's hesitating. He doesn't know whether we put two socks on. Joel Embiid might put three socks on. One on his left, one on his right, one on his dick, ready to go all at once. We don't know what's going on with this magic.
No, there's definitely a dick sock going on there. You're spot on right there. It's like a Christmas stocking. Where the Sixers are at, like, too many times I've been asked the question already, like, what happens if the Sixers don't win the finals or don't go to the finals or don't do this? But I think that that's the wrong question to be asking. I think the question we should be asking and the reality that's, like, equally fucking acceptable to live in is, what if we do win the Eastern Conference? What if we do win the finals? What if that's the reality that we live in? What if we walk down Broad Street fucking eating shit behind the horses and have the party of our lifetime this summer, a bacchanal to end all Corona times and fucking champagne flowing down Broad Street? What if that's the reality that we live in? Because that's equally exciting to me. I'm not going to waste my time thinking like this, what if this doesn't happen, or like whose fault might it be? No, we're in the thick of it right now. I'm going to live in this moment and enjoy it, because there's been so long where we've been waiting for this or trying to build towards this. This is what we wanted, the number one seed. So the fact that this is finally at our doorsteps, I'm not trying to live in any reality except for the one that's happening and the best case scenario, because we, like I said, we've waited too fucking long.
You're exactly right. It's time to complete the process, because you don't know what's going to happen next year, or if somebody's going to get hurt, or if the thing just spontaneously combusts on itself. The Sixers in 2001, you thought that like they'd be there again, never got there again. The Phillies in 2008, the year before that, they had a slow trajectory. They got into the playoffs and then they won it the next year. But you remember the Eagles in 2004, it was obviously four straight NFC championships and then a Super Bowl. And you're thinking, okay, they're going to be back, no worries. And then next year, fucking Mike McMahon start, for God's sakes, and the Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, you got to take advantage of the opportunity while the iron is hot. And right now, they're the number one seed overall. There's nobody in the East that can – well, I mean
– that's why you can't say that. It's always like you always get there, and then you remember the Nets. And, I mean, we have the right to be scared of the Nets, and they should be scared of us. And that's what's going to make it a good series when, God willing, it happens.
There's nobody in the East that can stop Joel Hans and Embiid. That's what it comes down to. Nobody. Maybe nobody in the West either. But right here, right now, the Sixers are plus 600 on the Barstool Sportsbook to win the East. They're plus 300 everywhere else. They're plus 600 on the Barstool Sportsbook. Get on that. They're going to be Philly and PA specials all throughout these playoffs and the summer. We've been ordered to promote that vehemently, and we will from the top to the bottom and across.
Yes, 100%. And Smitty, I want to, those are incredible deals. You have to get in on those like right now. And like you said, there's going to be plenty more. So keep on with the Bet with Barstool. Keep on with all the special boosts that we have on the Barstool Sportsbook. And if you don't have the app, download it today. But I want to talk about some players on the Sixers roster and the roles that you see for them in the postseason. I'm going to mention four guys to you, Smitty. I want to know what you think is going to happen with Tyrese Maxey, Mike Scott, George Hill, and Furkan Korkmaz. Who plays? Who sits? Because there's not really room for all those guys to be playing.
I think right now, Maxey, even though he came out and had, 24 points against the Magic in the first half, he can absolutely turn it on a dime. I think he's six. He's a rookie. I like him a lot. He's a spark plug when he's out there. He can score. But when it comes down to it, George Hill, He's got to play. He's the one you went out and got for this experience, for these moments. He has to be out there. Furkan, I know we had a love-hate relationship with that Turkish bastard all year, but he's got to play. When he is on, he is on. He's the perfect spot shooter for this team, and he meshes well. Mike Scott, he's got to play as well. You need to send him out there and just start throwing fucking punches left and right, be an intimidator, and maybe hit a three once in a while. I think Maxey is the guy who sits out of those four unless you really, really, really need something. And if they really, really, really need something, they're going to be in a bad spot.
Derek, what do you think?
I think we have to be due for at least one Furkan game where he drops, you know, 24 with, you know, five threes, or same way with George Hill, but I don't know if they're that consistent yet. They haven't shown us yet that they can put it in each night. I'm also worried that Mike Scott is going to take up too many minutes. We've kind of seen that in the past few weeks of the season. He's a great
veteran. He's been playing okay, though.
Has he been playing to the par where we need him to contribute? Like,
but he's not going to contribute that much. He's going to come in and absolutely just be an intimidator, maybe shoot a three here or there. I'll tell you what, this postseason is going to come down to George Hill. And I was very, very happy we got him, but he hasn't really shown us as fans why we got him yet. So he really needs to step it up and be more consistent in the playoffs. Otherwise, they're going to have issues.
I think that George Hill is almost like there was a time when George Hill seemed like he wasn't going to play until the playoffs. I think there's still got to be some lingering injury stuff going on with George Hill. Either that or he's just old. But either way, like if those things are persisting, you can't force him just because you got him. That's like some sunk cost shit. Like if he's not playing up to par, you play the rookie. I think that Maxey should be getting minutes over Mike Scott. I think that the spark that he gives you and the speed that he gives you he's just an explosive player that we don't have. He's a change of pace and he can hit another gear for you, especially if somebody's tired, if you need a spark plug. He has a nice package of layups. I don't think that we should be falling into the fact that he's a rookie and trying not to play him. But I do respect that Mike Scott and Furkan give us the spacing that we need. And there's going to have to be some spacing when Simmons and Embiid are taking over and clogging the paint.
I hate to sound like an old school crab, kind of like Gene Hackman at Hoosiers, but I'll be a Norman Dale out there. I think Maxey potentially could do too much out there when he's playing. Like sometimes you do need to relax and then not try too hard to make things happen. Maxey, when he is on his game, like he can be a borderline star in this league. I mean, we've seen it with his offensive potential. But I mean, these playoffs, when this team is mojoing like it can, like I don't know if I want to go from 0 to 100 that quickly with Maxey. I don't know.
Just for a spark. I'm just saying for just a spark. But speaking of not doing too much, one guy, I mean, I just hope Ben Simmons doesn't try to do too much. I think that Ben Simmons we know what Ben Simmons is at this point in his career, 16 points, hopefully 10 assists, 9 rebounds, something like that. Play within that and don't try to take over the game. Be who your identity was during the regular season that made this team successful. And don't try to do too much. We know who you are. Play within yourself and be the facilitator point guard that we need.
See, there's a fine line between Ben Simmons playing too much and doing too much and Ben Simmons not being aggressive. I don't want him to do too much, but I still want him to be aggressive as fuck.
Yes.
And if those can somehow mix into a perfect marriage, then they're going to be dangerous. But of course, this team's got to go through Embiid. No doubt about it.
But if there are times when please go. I'm just going to say, if there's times we can run, definitely run. I definitely want to be using the pace of Ben Simmons and getting out on the break a little bit and just being overpowering people with our athleticism. But Derek, what were you about to say?
No, I'm going to say, how concerned are you guys of kind of the streakiness of the three-point shooting? Because I know back in 2019, it kind of saw that in the playoffs. How nervous are you guys? I mean, Curry, Green, and Tobias, they've all been knocked down this year so far. Is that something that could be a problem in the playoffs?
Hey, they got to stay consistent. If Seth Curry goes, you know, 1 for 11 from 3 in any game, we're fucked. If Danny Green ain't hitting his corner pocket threes like he does when he just lives there, we're fucked. If Tobias doesn't fulfill the prodigy that he's been all season, which is the most underrated part of the Sixers, if Tobias Harris goes back to just like average, we're fucked. He needs to stay that above average third complementary player to Embiid and Simmons. Otherwise, we're screwed.
Yeah, but I do think that Seth Curry is kind of the forgotten guy on the Sixers. Like, I don't think that he really gets the attention of a lot of other people, but I think that that keeps him from being a 1-for-11 guy. Like, I don't think he's ever going to have a 1-for-11 guy, because if he gets to 1-for-6, he's going to stop shooting. He doesn't have this unconscious, I'm just going to shoot forever because I know that I'm good, like mentality that sometimes you kind of wish you would have. I would put up with a 1-for-11 night if I could get some like 7-for-11 nights, but I don't think he's ever going to shoot that much. I don't think his volume is going to be that high.
I want him to be a chucker in this playoffs. I don't think it's going to happen. I want him to take shots 10 feet from behind the three if he has it wide open. Fuck it. He can do it. Be your brother one time. Do it. But if he is firing on all cylinders from behind the arc and Ben Simmons is playing aggressive and they do what they need to do, we are what we think they are. And if they can play to their ability and be healthy, if one player goes down, they're going to be in trouble between Simmons, Embiid, and Tobias Harris.
I know. I've had that thought too, and I'm like literally like praying that nothing happens. Just give us a fair shot at it. This is our year. The fucking Nets have built a super team against us. If we go through it this year, then we deserve it. It's not any fucking Miami championship. It's not a fucking like Disney World bullshit championship. This is the real deal against really good teams. We fucking built the roster through everything. Please God, don't fucking strike an injury upon this team. That's the last thing we need.
Derek, voicemail.
Hey guys, this is Connor from Penn State. I was just curious about your confidence level in Doc coaching the Sixers team in the playoffs. You know, you looked at his recent playoff coaching history. 2015 had the bad collapse of the Rockets, losing 3-1. 2016, 2017, both getting knocked out in the first round. And then obviously there was a year there where he didn't make the playoffs. And then this past year, the epic collapse with the Clippers, Kawhi, PG, that team just absolutely decimating, just hitting the demolition button on itself. So, are you nervous at all? Personally, I have all the faith in the world in Doc leading this team to the playoffs. I think this is a different year. I think it's a different roster than what he's had in the past. I think it's better suited to his coaching ability. But I was just curious to hear your guys' thoughts, especially because I remember Smitty saying that Wizards first round, he was a little bit scared. So just wanted to get your how confident you were in Doc moving into this postseason. Thanks, guys.
I am confident in Doc Rivers, A, because he won before. He has a championship. And B, he's better than what we've had. Plain and simple. No offense to Brett Brown. Good guy, but major offense to fucking Brett Brown. He had no. Ron, what you give me a synonym.
He had no culpability.
Yeah, no culpability.
No, that's not it. No. Culpability is not the right word. We Mad Libs that one right there. But I agree. I agree with you, though, Smitty. I don't think that you could put this on Doc Rivers because, like, we just put it on Brett Brown. You know what I mean? Like, we just blamed everything on him. So if someone new comes in, we're like, no, it's actually that guy, too. It's like, well, at what point do the players take culpability? At what point are they like, it's my fucking fault. We have to put this team on our back. We need to play together. It doesn't matter what the coach is saying. The coach has given us the environment to be able to do what we want, create the chemistry that we want. He's a player's coach. So we should be able to play within that and be successful. Otherwise, like, it's us. It's on us. It's on Simmons and Embiid. But I don't think it is. I think that they're playing together in a fantastic clip, and they have to keep on playing together. I'm not going to blame Doc Rivers.
And you saw kind of how it transpired last year with the Clippers, a totally unexcusable exit by them, I believe, in the second round of last year's playoffs, and which led to Doc Rivers' firing. But is that more on Rivers or the team when the team basically chooses players, fluffer Tyronn Lue as head coach? Like, maybe they didn't want Doc there when it was all said and done. Doc, I think, is perfect for this team because he has the ability to wrangle all of them together and be the mature coach that they need. And if they don't fulfill their destiny this season, I highly doubt it's going to be 100% Doc's fault.
Yeah, no way. It doesn't make sense at all. And if you look at the Clippers, like, first off, I don't think that the Clippers roster composition, like, was the smartest way to build a roster, putting two guys like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George together. Like, it works defensively, but offensively, it doesn't work perfectly. And you could kind of tell that because this year, even without Doc Rivers, they're not the number one seed in the West. They got passed by, like, the fucking Jazz, the fucking Suns are up. You know what I mean? Like, there's, like – all these surprising teams in the West who are better than the Clippers. But and then in the same token, you saw what he did with the Sixers. You saw how he built up the Sixers. And I think that that also has to do with our roster composition. So you have to give Daryl Morey some credit there. But I think that we're the number one seed in part because of Doc Rivers. So I'm not about to turn on him. Like, he took us to this point. Now let's finish the job.
It's the Rivers Morey show. We're going to take him home. In Hinkie's name we pray. Amen. Switching up, Phillies. They are the most frustrating team I have seen in a long, long time, possibly in all sports. They can't hit for a hitting team. They strike out constantly. They are shambles on defense. Pitching is hot and then it's cold. Like, I don't know what to make of this team. They're a playoff team when they want to be, but they're not a playoff team. I don't fucking know. If you guys have anything on the Phils before we move
they're
on,
they're not a play. I don't think they're a playoff team. I just flat out think that that last statement sums it up. I just think that they're not a playoff team. They're right
but
on
they
the
are
outside.
They want to be. They are, kind
of. Yeah, they could be playoff teams. They could be playoff teams, but they can, like, I don't know, lose a team. I mean, it's just it's frustrating for sure, but at the same time, like, I don't think it's that different from what we thought it was going to be coming into the season. And I think that we got a little bit high hopes swindled off of a little bit of early season success. And it's even more frustrating that you don't really know how to fix it. Like, you have three good starters. I guess you could keep on trying to dump money into the bullpen, but how does that always not work?
I mean, you say we have three good starters, which Zach Wheeler has been on a Cy Young shit, but Aaron Nola, I mean, what the hell? He's pitching tonight against the Red Sox. Hopefully he has a comeback game, but he's not been ace status the past couple of starts. Eflin's been kind of decent, okay. Chase Anderson thought you had something in him, got waxes last time. Vinny Velasquez finally is a major league pitcher again, and his little index finger goes numb last night. What the fuck was that about? I'm sure that made whole bunch of daily fantasy players happy that he's scratching a start 10 minutes before first pitch. So long season. It really was. Not going to get into playing on competitive sites, but like if Penn gets a daily fantasy thing going, we'll talk about it. But long season, the bank just announced opening up going maskless. If you're vaccinated very soon, that's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. But the Eagles,
Before Phillies, we need more streakers on the field.
Oh, yeah. Two streakers went on the field and bam, 7-run rally in the eighth inning. Why not?
Yeah, the footage was incredible. The footage of the guy getting even the cop, like kind of like patting him on the back, being like, all right, buddy. There's multiple clips. Like, the cop must have been laughing for half an hour because at the top of the steps, he's laughing as everyone's trying to get pictures with him. Like, I think the cop had the most fun of everybody.
Yeah, I think the only one not liking it was Tom McCarthy announcing the game, which he can't like glorify it at all. But the camera people were like even going to the streakers a little bit. Tom McCarthy was calling them, I think, Yahoos.
Yeah.
Right. Which, I mean. Think,
is it, like, less security this year? It seems like there's, like, fewer security people. Like, it seemed like he could have got away. Both dudes seemed like they kind of had a path to get away. And, like, if he just hits that hurdle a little bit faster, if he's not looking over his shoulder, goes straight up the steps or, like, cuts over, I think that there's a way to get out. Those were, like, the shortest steps possible that he was going for. So I don't know if the Phillies are going to start implementing more security, but the blueprint is being laid for a successful streak and exit of the stadium.
Yeah, maybe if he played 3 years varsity instead of two, he would have been able to make it out of freaking Sun Valley.
2 years
from
varsity.
Yeah, yeah. Go back to Bonner, pal, before you streak. I think there was only one successful exit out of a streaker, and that was Minute Maid Park in Houston, where he literally climbed over the center field wall. I don't know how that could be done at the bank. Maybe you could go to through like center field and like up Ashburn Alley and just escape. But I wouldn't hate a great escape.
Yeah, I would be sheltering him. Like, who's the people that like sheltered the guy that shot Lincoln afterwards, and they all got hanged afterwards? Mary something. John Wilkes Booth got like sheltered by like a group of people as he was.
Yeah,
like,
you know, away. you're talking about Samuel Mudd.
Yeah,
the doctor. Family. He didn't get hanged though. He did. He was the only one. He got exonerated.
But who was the woman? There was like a woman who had it.
He got hanged,
and she got hanged or whatever. I'd be her. I'd be having him in like. I'd have him with the Schmitter.
Yeah.
I would. I'd get in on the plot for a successful streak. I'd fucking give him a change of clothes, a Groucho Marx mask, real quick, and fucking be like, "Get out of here."
I'm surprised we haven't seen a petition yet to get these guys, get their bans lifted from Citizens Bank Park. You know, that has to be coming soon.
How do they enforce the ban?
You can't. They tried to ban me from Citizens Bank Park.
That singing thing?
Yeah, when I snuck in to sing the national anthem, they tried to ban me. And I was just like, really? Like, is that the route we're gonna take? And then they said, okay, we'll make a deal. You won't be banned from Citizens Bank Park, but you have to agree to never sing a national anthem at a Major League Baseball stadium again.
Done.
Fair trade.
Done.
Fair trade. I guess until I get my like Whitney Houston on like 860 and like want to do it, but who's gonna stop it?
Eagles. Seventh inning stretch. Go ahead. Yeah.
Eagles. Ryan Kerrigan officially not only the Washington football team's all-time leader in sacks. He's coming over to Philadelphia. Why? I have no fucking idea. Can somebody please explain to me why he would choose Philly out of any other team? Because he's not going to be like a prime starter. He's not getting a lot of money. It seems like a Chris Long, the Philly situation from the Patriots, in which like he's going to help people out. But Chris Long had a chance to win a championship, and he did. Why is Ryan Kerrigan choosing these Philadelphia Eagles?
Dude, I read an article about why Ryan Kerrigan chose the Eagles, and I still don't know why Ryan Kerrigan chose the Eagles. He's getting paid like no money. We're doing a weird thing where we always kick money down the road, but I guess that's to save money somehow. I think we're going to sign another cornerback still. And is this weird that I'm starting to like our defense? Like I'm starting to like little things about our defense. That's very weird.
That's very weird.
That's we traded for the dude Josiah Scott from the Jaguars, which is also really weird. But I think he's a slot corner answer, and it feels like they're thinking about life after Avante Maddox, who's going to be a free agent next year. He's obviously not the answer on the outside, so I think we go Avante one more year in the slot this year. We figure out another answer for an outside cornerback this year. And we have our defense, but like we do have a glaring hole at cornerback still.
A glaring hole at cornerback, linebackers, DNs outside of Brandon Graham and Ryan Kerrigan, who are both, you know, senior citizen age when it comes to football years. Pretty much everywhere outside of Anthony Harris and the D tackles. I think we're not in good shape, but Jalen Hurts. He's able to be a franchise quarterback, but he's saying all the right things. I mean, he's a quote machine about paying rent on time, due every day. I thought we were listening to J.J. Watt there for a second, 2005. Start getting remember the game playing and the headphones, Jalen. Sure, why not? I mean, I'm not a big quote guy because of that reason, pretty much. But I guess he's saying all the right things. He's working out with the young receivers. Like, sure, Jalen. Like, go for it.
If Jalen Hurts winds up having a successful NFL career, then he's definitely going to have a successful post-NFL career being a motivational speaker like Ray Lewis or like how Dion just like you just put the microphone on him anytime and just be like, believe in yourself. Like all you need to do is dig deep. And it works. Honestly, he has me fired up and he's like the narrative on Jalen Hurts has completely changed throughout the summer, where people are like, yeah, like he's the guy now. Like you could tell that he's going to be an all pro. Like don't even trade for these other all pros because we know that Jalen Hurts, like people are saying it almost definitively just because of how confidently he's talking.
He is being very confident. And I think Ray Didinger said that when Jason, one of the reasons why Jason Kelce is back because he believes in Jalen Hurts. But when Jason Kelce was asked what the difference was between Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz, Kelce said that Jalen Hurts didn't say it, but believes that he is the best player on the field at all time. So he has this quiet confidence that we haven't seen translate to cockiness yet, which is a good thing. But it's just a question. I'm keeping an open mind. It's really a you can't say it's low risk because it already fucking blew up the team, but it is kind of a low risk, high reward situation because if it doesn't work out, we expected it kind of not to work out.
Yeah, you're not paying him that much. Like, it's not like you're dumping a bunch of money into him. He's like getting paid $1 million a year. And if Jalen Hurts is not successful, it's not going to be because of what's going on between his ears. You know, he has the right mindset. He seems like he's smart enough and studious enough. So if he could put that together with what he has going on physically, I think that he could wind up being a nice player for us. But Smitty, before we go, I need to hear about Thelco softball. Please, God, how that experience was. Was it everything I dreamed?
So Derek and I were there last Sunday. I believe it was the second weekend of Delco softball. And like we said last week on the podcast, Roan's going to be a David Attenborough observing from afar. Initially, I'm going to be a Jane Goodall. I will be in the cages with the animals, just basically observing them in the wild as they are. And, they are in the wild, and they are in their element, and they are – creatures of degeneracy beyond belief.
Who did you play with?
So I played with the Alcabolics first, and then I played with Good Brothers. And Alcabolics, we won, beat the defending champions of the league, and Good Brothers, we lost. But every time you hit a home run on the Good Brothers, you take a missile, which is basically a hollowed out RPG, fill it with some sort of alcoholic beverage and attempt to drink it, which basically just goes all over your face. But the best part about last weekend is during the first game, we were right on the border of Chester. So there were about like 20 kids, maybe 15 or 12 to 15 years old off the field, like in the park. And they just start throwing down like a huge Donnybrook, just a complete chaotic experience. And the Delco softball league, they had camera people there. They turn around, the game stops, everyone's looking kind of like wooting on or whatever, and there's this one cop on the premises, a Delaware County police officer, who starts driving. I mean, he's right there on the softball field, like why is this guy here? And he starts driving and everyone's like, go get him chop. And I'm like thinking to myself, Chop, like Children's Hospital, why are they calling him Chop? The cop was there on the premises because his softball team was playing, and he was there scouting him out. That was the only reason the Delco cop was there. And he got out, took across the fight, ragdolled a couple people, got back in his car, and went back to scout the team. That's how intense this league is.
Oh, my God.
People on duty servicing the country, scouting their own team, making sure everything's done the right way.
That's the most Delco shit that I've ever heard. It's like the first scene of like Good Will Hunting, where they're just like brawl. They go to a little baseball game, and they have a brawl in the park. Like that is that shit. That is like, you couldn't write that. If you wrote it, it would sound hokey. It's just so insane that is actually what's happening. I would expect nothing less. How much boozing is going on down there, Smitty, and how much softball is going? Is it a 50-50?
Well, there were Delco steaks delivered, which was delicious. The booze to softball ratio, I believe it is a solid 8-1. Eight beverages for one swing. Like it's bad. It's bad. I wrote in the blog like about the statistics. I was like, 1-1 for the day, 4-7 at the plate. I didn't drink any, so zero alcoholic beverages, zero appeared DUIs, one fight, one cop appearance. Good times had by most.
That's an incredible stuff.
How many people were there that like just came just to drink? It was just like a
yeah, it's a scene. Yeah. Yeah. It's essentially a family reunion every week of Delco.
When are the playoffs again? When did we say the playoffs are?
So the playoffs are July, but I mean, we can go down there. We'll talk next week. I mean, it's Memorial Day weekend next weekend, but we'll talk. Well, we think we can, if we can get a production done of just like any given Sunday, pretty much of these animals. There's going to be enough this week. Derek, if you're going to be around, I am playing with either Ugly Mike and the Boys or Clifton Basers. They're playing at 6:30 at Upland in Delco. I don't know who I'm playing with yet. They've both been recruiting, but apparently it's a huge rivalry. You can smell the Delco stench for miles for that one. So we'll have people there getting footage. They do a great job covering everything. Honestly, I felt bad for the ump. He made one like blatantly bad call and everyone just like puts him out on social media alleging that he beats his wife, because like, why wouldn't you like just go to the lowest common denominator for a PIAA dude in shorts just trying to make a couple bucks on the weekend? But I mean, that's Delco, baby.
That's Delco, baby. Damn, well, I need to get down there. Absolutely. It has to happen in fast.
Before asking, where's Roan?
So, let's get it.
We'll get it. And that's all she wrote. Send in the voicemails next week. We'll have Sixers playoffs Monday. And sounds delicious. Thank you, Derek. We'll hang up and listen.